Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Let's call this the Monday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so make sure you're over there on those days to check it out. But, you know, you should also just kind of pop over there, see what's going on a daily basis. You never know what might show up. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, we'd greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Berkheim, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's.
Oh, all right. Well, let's see. You know, obviously there still doesn't seem to be much, if anything, going on sports-wise. You know, I mean, some minor announcements here and there. But the one local thing I did see, and I don't know if you heard this one, Dan, but Ryan Pace, who in reality has been a gigantic failure as the Bears general manager, but that's a different story, came out and said that when they do go to training camp and everything opens up, which really shouldn't affect the NFL at all, they're going to have an open competition at quarterback between, you know, good old Mitchell Trubisky and the newly acquired Nick Foles. Boy, you know, Dan, I'm not even sure who or what to think about this garbage, but I guess, are you buying open competition?
No. 100% no. I mean, here again goes, look at your track record. Do I dare say what I really want to say and that he's full of shit? Well, excuse my French, I just said it. Thank God the FCC is not going to come down on us for that. But, I mean, come on now. You know, and this is one of the reasons that it's just hard to be a Bears fan. I don't, you know, I have all these 100%ers, you know, that I'm friends with on Facebook. I know a guy out in Minnesota who, you know, sits there and posts all this Packer crap all day long, you know, the Packer trashing crap all day long, just diehard Bears. But, you know, and I have several friends like that, and I'm like, I don't get it. I mean, I get that you're loyal to a team and that stuff. How can you, you know, I get it, you want to support your team, but how can you continuously support idiocracy and mediocrity? I mean, for Ryan Pace to come out here and say it's an open competition, well, all that says to me is that he got his head out of his ass for 5 minutes, or, you know, someone in the front office said, hey, remember, when we drafted Mitchell, you said that Mike, whatever, Glennon, was going to be the quarterback for the Bears. And I, you know, blah, 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 and all the crap you said about him. And then, was it 4 weeks into it, he's gone? So, I mean, he had to realize that he'd been called out on his crap. Because, I mean, get your head out of your ass. And, you know, people aren't stupid. I know we're kind of taught to, I wouldn't say you taught that specifically when we were training for wrestling, but, you know, that was one of the things that I kind of put into some of the students' minds when I did my training portion. Wasn't that so much that people are stupid, but, you know, you've got to imagine that they don't know anything and you know everything, so you've got to tell that story. Well, I don't think that truly applies to Ryan Pace because he's already kind of put his narrative out there and he knows he doesn't know how to stay to it. So to sit here and say that it's an open competition, I mean, come on now. You pulled Mike Lennon as fast as you could to put in Trubisky, which everyone knew that, you know, everyone wanted Trubisky in there from the start, except for when he was first drafted and he got booed out of Chicago, basically. You know, so to sit there and say it's an open competition, you're full of it. We all know that Foles is going to start. Or even if he doesn't, we know he's going to end up taking over the season because Mitchell's not going to live up to whatever they're trying to do, which I don't think he's even accomplished or figured out what the hell they want to do. I mean, they won 1 year, and, you know, so how long are you going to ride those coattails? It's just going to be another, what about those 86 Bears season?
Yeah, 85 Bears, actually. So,
yeah, 85, yeah. You know what I meant.
Yeah, I know what you meant. So, yeah, you know, and the most difficult part with this is, you know, and especially if you're Ryan Pace, if you do legitimately have an open competition and Nick Foles wins, who is, you know, I mean, you can say what you want about Nick Foles, and I know he had a great run with the Eagles, and, you know, they ended up winning the Super Bowl, and he was the MVP, but, you know, go look at his track record after that and tell me he's a, you know, a franchise quarterback. You know, I'm not buying that in any way, shape, or form. But if he beats out the guy that you spent a number two draft pick on in the entire draft, you know, remember, mm-hmm. Trubisky was the second choice overall, plus you traded up to get him because you got snookered, there's a good word for you, by the San Francisco 49ers into thinking and actually believing that other teams were going to trade up to get him. So you gave away draft picks to get what would be considered a bust if he didn't win your starting quarterback job.
Well,
so,
you know, I can't. I don't remember the full timeline on Pace and his joining the organization, but. I mean, are we not seeing just more of the same crap that's been going on since Jay Cutler came to town? I mean, Jay Cutler had a new offensive coordinator every other year. Now, Trubisky, you know, are we going to continue the every other year thing? Where, you know, maybe Trubisky won't have a new coordinator every other year, but the Bears will have a new quarterback every other year?
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, in this situation, you know, they had to do something because now, if you remember, 2 years ago, Trubisky was a franchise quarterback. You know, he came out and he had the great season in this offense, and, you know, everybody loved him, and they didn't have anything to worry about. This was going to be their guy for 15 seasons, and the Bears were set, and, you know, they were going back to the Super Bowl. And then last year came along, and, you know, he obviously wasn't very good, and there's a boatload of questions. What do you do with them? So, you know, and just so you know, Pace was hired in 2015 by the Bears. So they had to do something. You know, they just couldn't bring back, like, Chase Daniels, who, nothing against Chase Daniels, but just isn't an NFL starting quarterback. He's made a fantastic career for himself as a backup, but he's just not a guy, when you see Chase Daniels, you go, oh, yeah, I want to start that guy. So, you know, but I just don't know. Again, I mean, you know, they're going to sell you on the fact that, well, you know, Nick Foles had so much success in, you know, this offense, which is run by Matt Nagy, very similar to what, you know, he played in. Again, and, you know, when you look at Foles' career, he's only had success in Philadelphia. You know, he's had opportunities other places, and it just hasn't worked out for him. You know, Jacksonville brought him in to be the savior of the franchise. It took them 4 games to figure out that he wasn't the guy. So.
Well, and, you know, to throw another minor perspective into it, so you get a guy who supposedly works in Matt Nagy's offense, but you brought in a guy who came off of a really great season run where he was the offensive coordinator, but didn't call plays until the end of the season. He comes in as the Bears head coach. Now he's running the show. He's calling all his own plays. Goes, you know, for what we've been dealing with here, has a fantastic season with a young quarterback. And then he comes back into his sophomore year and it all implodes. So I don't know. I just find it hard to put all that on Mitchell.
Well, you know, and the weird thing, like, when you go back to Foles, you know, he played in 7 games during that regular season when Philadelphia won the Super Bowl. He started 3 of them. Now, in the regular season, he wasn't very good. You know, he only completed 56.4% of his passes. But then, you know, when the playoffs rolled around, he got super hot. So you just wonder if it was a guy kind of catching fire at the right time. Because in the playoffs, he completed 72.6% of his passes. And obviously, you know, they swept through going 3-0. But, you know, like that 56.4 completion percentage is tied for the lowest in his career. So, you know, that just kind of points to more questions there is, you know, did he just kind of get lucky in the playoffs and he had the right pieces around him? You know, or did the matchups just fall in place where he was able to succeed? Because, I mean, you look at the numbers and they just don't point to franchise starting quarterback any way, shape, or form. So, I don't know. I mean, you know, but that's what we're going to get. You know, we're going to get the familiar with the system line, you know, all the stuff that we always kind of get when, you know, you see these guys, you know, oh, yeah, he's used to this system. You know, he'll be able to run it, blah, 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 you know, yada, yada, yada. And, you know, we'll see what happens. I'm just not buying it. You know, and then if Foles does beat out Trubisky, you know, that's it for Mitch in Chicago. He's done.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, I believe he's got an option on his contract for the 2021 season. If he doesn't win the starting job, you just let him go. You don't even try to re-sign him. You know, you let him walk away and, you know, that's it. Hey, thanks for giving it a shot, and good luck someplace else in the NFL or the XFL.
Or the league that is defunct now. No.
Yes. Or maybe the CFL. You know, maybe you could get a job up there if they're looking for, you know, guys. But, yeah, I just don't see – you know, and then the sad part is we get right back to where the Bears have been for a bazillion years. Well, you're going to need a young quarterback to develop, because what are we going to get with Nick Foles?
Mm-hmm.
So. So, yeah, it's just kind of like, okay, great. And I think Bowles is signed for multiple years after this. I think he's still got a couple years under contract. And he is only 31. So if you did get lucky and things worked out for you, you know, you could bring him back or however you wanted to, you know, to go about these things. But I, you know, again, I just don't see the – you know, the big, bright, shining star here that we're going to be sold.
Yeah, well, I mean, then, that, you know, like you said, it's going to be more of the same here in Chicago. And kind of reiterating what I said is, isn't how it's so hard to actually be a Bears fan. I mean, I know I've definitely had my roots here, and, you know, I was lucky enough to go up to training camp in 86 when the Bears were up in Wisconsin and, you know, kind of take all that in, you know, just growing up with them and always being on TV and all. But, I mean, I didn't experience the whole Super Bowl thing. So I guess it's almost in like to what you brought up and why a guy like Anthony Davis wasn't crying, itching, or, you know, dying to get to Chicago, because he didn't grow up with the Jordan era. You know, I didn't grow up with that. I grew up with I think we had great, colorful personalities for the Bears back in the 80s and 90s. But, you know, who was the quarterback that I saw? You know, Mike Tomczak. You know, from what I understand, Jim Harbaugh. But, you know, from what I understand, Jim McMahon wasn't as great as everyone put him out there to be.
No, you know, what Jim McMahon was as a quarterback was he was a leader. You know, he was, you know, and that's one of those things you need. He was a guy that guys would play for. You know, statistically not the greatest quarterback, to play. But, you know, then when they did get a guy with talent, you know, when they had Jay Cutler, who admittedly was a talented quarterback,
yeah,
they couldn't figure it out. And like you said, he had a different offensive coordinator almost, I think, just about every year he was here. You're not going to succeed like that. I don't care who you are. You know, you could be Tom Brady, and if you're learning a new offense every year and they're changing things every year on you, you're not going to be successful. And I know he took a lot of blame for it. And, he wasn't great with the media, which, of course, is always going to be a problem for a guy in today's game.
Mm-hmm.
But he gets way too much blame for what went on with that team. And, you know, I think maybe because he was brought in with such heralded accolades, you know, oh, yeah, he's going to do this for us and that for us. And, you know, I think that just was his downfall.
Yeah, and, everyone's going to complain about him, but he's going to go down as literally the greatest Bears quarterback in history, numbers-wise.
Well, I don't know about that. You know, there were some guys back in the talented.
With the way the records go and record books, that's pretty much where he sits.
So... it's just, but I mean, when you go back and you start to think about the Bears quarterback position, obviously we know Trubisky and Cutler, but, you know, there was your guy Kyle Orton and then Rex Grossman.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember they brought Cordell Stewart in here because they thought he was the answer. I remember they spent a high draft pick on Cade McNown, who ended up being a bust. Just some of the names that you see going back, even when you get back to probably before your time, you know, Vince Evans took over for a couple of years. Like when I was growing up, it was Bob Avellini, who actually played just about three full seasons as the Bears starter to no real avail. But yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, I mean, they've never really had that guy. I mean, maybe Billy Wade was the last one back in the 60s. But if you're not buying Billy Wade, then you got to go all the way back to Sid Luckman, which was the 40s. So, you know, the Bears really haven't had that guy at the quarterback position in a very, and I mean very long time. And, you know, I mean, obviously they hoped Trubisky was it. It's clear he's not now. But Foles isn't it either. So, you know, we'll just kind of have to wait and see. And who knows, maybe they find a guy in the draft, you know, coming up here in a few weeks that can sit behind Foles and learn and develop, you know, and maybe he'll be the guy to take over. But it will have to be late in the draft because, you know, they gave everything away to get Khalil Mack and Trubisky and everything else that they put together on this team. So they're not in a position to get a high-profile quarterback.
No, and I mean, I don't know. I think the other part of it is the consistent rush. You know, Ryan Pace came in 2015. He inherited Jay Cutler. You and I both know that was not his guy. That was not his guy. Yeah, you know, Jay Cutler hung around longer than I think both of us anticipated. But at the same time, okay, so this is not your guy. It is what it is, but this is who you have to work with. What are you doing to get your guy, the guy you're looking for in? Oh, what are we doing? What do you mean? Oh, you know, like draft a quarterback that you can bring up into your system who actually knows how the Bears run. And they failed to do that on numerous occasions. I mean, you and I could – well, not you and I, you could probably off the top of your head go back over just, you know, not even that many, but, you know, over the last, I don't know if you want to go 5 years, but the 2016 through last year's draft, you know, and kind of go, hey, Ryan, you could have, and maybe even 2015, I would think, you should have been drafting a quarterback then. But it was never done. So that I don't understand. And I don't know if that's just a pace thing or just the Bears in general from the time, you know, Jay Cutler had some service time and you knew he wasn't going to last forever because, you know, people are human. But, I mean, it's just like the Bears have never done anything to kind of shore up this position, be it a huge signing, huge trade, which I feel like doesn't really happen with quarterbacks unless you somehow can get Brett Favre or a Manning out of retirement, you know. You have to build him. You have to create him. And the Bears have not done that. You know, they went after a wide receiver who never played, but 4 games.
He played. He just wasn't very good.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I, I still remember fighting
really
with Mr. Fantasy about that. He thought it was a good pick, and, you know, I swore up and down that it wasn't, and, you know, I mean, sure, I would have loved to have been wrong, but I wasn't, you know, and I mean, I didn't even do a lot of scouting on the guy. I just kind of checked out what videos were on there and read the reports that were, you know, the scouting reports that they made public.
Yeah, well, even Uncle Bob, you know, rest his soul, was all in on Kevin White, and I was like, yeah, but, you know, Big Jack told me about the, you know, these minor injuries, blah, blah, blah. Oh, no. He's fine. He's healthy as a horse or, you know, whatever the saying is. And it's going to be perfect. You know, we've got our quarterback. Now we've got our, you know, now we've got our wide receiver. Kind of make up for Brandon Marshall and blah, blah, blah. And,
yeah, you know what I mean? The one thing that's always going to haunt Pace with the Trubisky signing was the fact that, you know, Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson were in that same draft. you know, and they both went, you know, before 15. And I think if you were to ask any Bear fan right now, they would much rather have Patrick Mahomes or Deshaun Watson as the Bears quarterback. And they wouldn't have had to trade up to get him. They could have traded down and gotten more draft picks.
Well, not only that, Big Jack, but what about, you know, a few years back when the rumors were out there that the Bears were possibly looking to make a deal with the Patriots to get Garoppolo? And I don't think anyone would have foreseen what Garoppolo was doing in San Francisco and if it will continue, but that would have been a hell of a lot better than going after Mike Glennon.
Yeah, you know, I think the difficult part is what would have Garoppolo done in this offense? Because I don't really know if anybody would have been successful in this offense. You know, just because it's so based on trickery and really not talent. Talent doesn't have anything to do with running this offense. You know, it's all based on can you do sleight of hand and fool these guys? So I don't know, you know, who it was or however it would work, you know, be it Garoppolo or if there was, you know, another guy, you know, they could have drafted. I don't think there were very many quarterbacks in the 2015 draft. You know, I know the two went at the top. That was Winston and Mariota, but neither of them really worked out. Other than that, I don't think there was another quarterback with, you know, any big upside that's like, you know, played in the league. So, but again, I mean, you get the guy, and you know, you would have you'd probably be better off putting that card trick guy that I see all the videos of, what's his name, like Shin Lim or something like that, you'd probably be better off with him at quarterback, letting him do magic, than these, you know, guys who don't have the skill set to find which card is yours back there taking snaps. So, you know, it becomes a frustrating process.
Well, and not to, you know, compare apples and oranges, but, you brought up the fact that the trick play, you know, it's kind of based on trickery and illusion of the eye or whatnot. But wasn't that kind of Mark Trestman's deal? Oh, we don't need to run the ball.
Oh, yeah.
If I pass the ball to one of the best running backs in Chicago since maybe Walter Payton. I don't know if I'm going too far with it, but Matt Forte was amazing. Oh, but he's not getting any rushing yards anymore because we're going to throw him the ball at the 1 yard line. And that's still like a rush, you know, it's still like a running play. So that's okay. And then he has no value and gets traded off to the Jets because the Bears just demolished him for absolutely no good reason at all. You know, oh no, we want to save his health. Save his health for what? Oh, I don't know. We just want to put the best running back in the game right now on the sidelines and let him watch so we can trade him so he doesn't get hurt. You know, I mean, it was so asinine. But, again, not to compare apples and oranges, but when you look at Belichick and what the Patriots have done with Brady in hand, I mean, just over the last 10 years, doesn't just good football and good calling, playmaking, play design, doesn't that win games? Not, ooh, look, I handed the ball off to my wide receiver, and now he's going to pass it back to the quarterback, and the quarterback's going to pass it all the way down, you know, to the end zone, like we're in freaking junior college. You know, I don't know. I mean, I think that's where some of the problem comes in when you get these guys who are college coaches and they don't know how to really move up to the NFL level. You know, I mean, you literally have the best of the best where, I mean, I think there's more college bowl games now than there are NFL teams. I could be wrong.
Yeah. Oh, there are. No, there are. There's almost 50 college bowl games.
So, you know, and I'm not going to say the kids in college are stupid or they're not the wisest, but at the same time, you're not dealing with the absolute best. You can run these trick plays. I mean, you know, there's so many people that sit here and, you know, are going to, you know, say all this stuff about college football. Well, number one, you're most likely full of it, because the only diehards that are into college football, I mean, really, are the ones that used to go there. So, you know, for us, there really isn't any in Illinois. You know, all my friends that are diehard anything college, they all went to, like, Michigan or Iowa. You know, they all went out of state. So, you know, there really isn't that, ooh, you know, Northern Illinois or ISU, you know, our college teams, I don't even know if they're on TV ever, you know, so we don't really get that. But then, you know, all the other people that are into all the bowl games, oh, no, I love the bowl games and blah, blah. Yeah, because you gamble. So do you really love it or is it, you know, and then you've got all these people, and I used to run into this when I worked in the salons, so I'm just going to throw the term out there, women. It's not a sexist thing. It's just what my information comes from and how they enjoy the game so much more than the NFL game because, you know, none of these kids are getting paid and they're really working and they love the game. Well, I don't even buy that all the way, too, because they may love the game, but they also want to do it so they can get that big contract in the NFL. So, I mean, at the end of the day, they all love the game. Otherwise, they wouldn't do it. You know, so, I don't know. It's just, it's so hard to, really, for me to get into the NCAA game when some of the plays you watch, I mean, I think that's what was so hard about watching that other league that folded last year was because it was worse than watching college football.
Yeah.
You know, at least college football has excitement. That league had nothing going for it. They may as well have been, you know, going into empty backlots and just playing out there. It wouldn't have been any difference to the stadium. They would have saved a lot more money.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing I'll always say that killed that league was they wanted to be an NFL feeder league. But without the NFL behind you, you can't be a feeder league.
Yeah.
So they were doomed from the start with that as their business plan. You know, it just wasn't happening because that's what you were looking at. You know, and I mean, they had a couple guys who had, you know, different shots in the NFL or however you want to look at it. But they didn't really have a, you know, anybody on the team who could contribute at the NFL level beyond special teams. And, you know, where the XFL came through is they actually brought guys in who could help out. You know, and again, none of these guys are going to go in the NFL and be stars. But, you know, they'll be contributors. And that's something you're looking for as an NFL team.
Yeah, well, and sadly, with the way the season went, the way the world went this year, except for that one guy, no one really got a chance to move on.
Well, you know, like the one guy, the tight end, and I always screw up his last name, but I believe it's Donald Parnum. You know, he was 6'8". He's really young. He's only 21 or 22. He was drafted by the Redskins in the late rounds. But, you know, my guess is he was probably too immature at the time and didn't really or probably wasn't really ready for the NFL. Well, now he got an opportunity to go out there and show his wares, and the Chargers signed him. And, you know, well, now it's Los Angeles, but, you know, if you look at San Diego's history with tight ends, they've always had really good success with these guys. And as long as Hunter Henry is healthy, this guy's not going to have to come in and try to be a star. He can learn the system, work things out as, you know, as they go. and given a legitimate shot to maybe not next year, but possibly the year after that, being a starting tight end in the NFL who contributes to a team. You know, and that's way farther ahead than where any of the good old ass guys would have been, you know, had they, you know, had they stuck around. You know, and that, you know, and that seems to be the difference with the league is, you know, the XFL did a better job of recruiting talent. And I wonder if the ass kind of rushing and wanting to beat the XFL, the television, hurt them more than it helped them.
Oh, yeah, I think that was the biggest thing. You know, oh, did you hear McMahon trying to do a thing again? Oh, he's not doing with us?
Yeah.
Either. Get to the, you know, get to it before him. And, you know, and the best thing about
right,
it was, you know, McMahon didn't really go out against him. He didn't say anything negative, but he also didn't try to counter and try to speed things up.
Right. Yeah, and, you know, that's the thing. You know, the XFL had their plan. They stuck with it. And, you know, I mean, obviously it wasn't NFL-level football, but I don't think anybody expected that. But it was good, watchable football. And, you know, that it gave people an alternative who are really, you know, the diehard, hardcore type of fans. It gave them something to watch, and the innovations that they came forward with, you know, especially like talking to the players and the coaches on the sideline after something happens, that's a huge deal. You know, to get that perspective right away, and you don't have to worry about giving him a chance to go to the locker room and talking to the, you know, the publicity guy and having him being told what to say, you know, and you don't hear, well, you know, I'm just here to play the game or I'm just happy to be here. You get an actual genuine reaction from a human being.
Yeah, the one thing I do hope they X out, no pun intended, for next year is the end zone interview. Just let them celebrate.
Yeah. So,
well, I mean,
you know, and I mean, obviously,
it didn't work.
They'll have to make and stuff, but you know, I mean, for all in all, even though it was only like a 5-week season, I thought it was pretty successful for them. You know, we'll just have to kind of see how next season goes.
They were drawing people. I mean, I know a guy down in Houston who I think was, there's two guys. One of them was a season ticket holder.
Yeah.
You know.
So, but you know, we talked about the, you know, we touched on things that have happened in the draft, and the NFL had some news today, Dan, and I'm sure every media member is going to jump all over this and just tell you how bad it sucks, but I think it's going to be pretty cool. The draft is coming up. It's April 23rd through the 25th, and now we already knew that they weren't going to get together, I believe it was supposed to be Las Vegas this year, and do the draft because of the situation going on with, you know, the good old coronavirus. But then there was still talk of they were trying to figure out if the teams were going to get together. You know, they have their war rooms and stuff where they all meet and they decide these things. Well, Roger Goodell came out today and sent a memo to every team letting them know that the draft will be conducted in fully virtual format. So, there, you know, we won't see teams in war rooms or, you know, that kind of stuff. Basically, it's going to be some guy sitting in his living room on his, you know, computer Skyping to whoever it is making their pick. You know, I don't have a problem with this, but you damn well know, Dan, that the media is going to freak out and tell you how bad this sucks.
Yeah, yes and no. I mean, they're starting to work from home themselves, so.
Yeah, well, they should just stop working with as big a jackasses as some of these guys are. But, yeah, I just kind of think it's, you know, and obviously it's the right thing to do. You know, you don't want a big public gathering when nobody else is getting together, even though, let's face it, there's a lot of stupid people out there who are still doing it. And, you know, like I saw somebody post about going to the beach with a bunch of people. I'm like, yeah, that's a genius idea. Let's all go out and get sick. So,
I
think this is, you know, a fantastic idea. And, you know, maybe we'll even get a computer glitch or two that'll make it even more fun.
Well, I hope there's no computer glitches, but I think it's Goodell with the virtual, you know, thing, the way it's set up. It will be interesting going forward if maybe we're actually going to join the future that everything you and I have grown up with, you know, that stuff will start to actually happen. But aside from that, I think that's the smartest thing for Goodell to do. Especially after having the, you know, and I don't really follow into politics, and I just let my wife update me on all this COVID stuff, which I do have to say, whoever invented this needs to be hung upside down and other fingernails and toenails removed one individually and anything else you could think of because, it's making my wife crazy. But, you know, he had that conference call or whatever he did with commissioners. I believe it was commissioners, but the way they made it seem like he was having meetings with general managers. So I'm assuming, I don't know if this could be, I don't know if you saw it, but that's kind of what I took away from it. I was like, why is he meeting with, you know, CEO and company? There's a lot of commissioners, you know, a lot of general managers. But if I'm right, you know, he would have met with the heads of all four leagues. You know, after, you know, really pretty much going out on a limb and saying that the NFL is going to start, and that's coming from the president, you know, a guy who 2 years ago was knocking the NFL for, you know, for the kneeling and all that crap. For him to kind of go out there and say that it's going to happen, I think if Goodell were had to have gone against what he said, not even just what he said, but, you know, what even the individual states are starting to put out there. I don't know. Vegas is following it. I think he would have just completely ruined the league and his face.
Well, you got to remember, 2 years ago, the president was still bitter about the fact that the NFL didn't let him buy the Buffalo Bills. So, there was probably still a little bitterness there. Now I'm sure things have kind of smooth over. But, yeah, let's face it. I mean, the NFL season doesn't start until Labor Day. If this is still going on by Labor Day, we're going to have a lot bigger concerns than if the NFL season is going to start. So, you know, I mean, let's look at it from a realistic format. And like you mentioned, it's making your wife crazy. I had to stop watching the news updates because I realized is all they ever try to do is make me afraid of what's going on and tell me who's to blame for it. There are like zero solutions involved in anything that's being reported. So there's no need to watch the news, you know, because all the breaking news today was the fact that the prime minister, Boris Johnson, is he from England, I believe? He's got it, and he's in intensive care. So that's getting headline news when we've been seeing people, you know, non-famous people for how many weeks die from it. But, you know, that's the media, and that's what you get. And I just had to give it up and, you know, go out and try to find other ways to get news, you know, get sports news or national news or whatever I just happen to be looking for. Sadly with me, I must be getting old, Dan, because it's mostly weather that I'm looking for. I want to know how the weather is all the time. I don't know where that came from. I think just old age. But on the plus side, at least I'm not watching Tiger King. So.
Oh, you should. It's amazing.
But here, I got a bit of NFL news that I know you'll be happy about, Dan. I saw this one. Your guy, and I think this was a couple years ago, I think he was a Bill when he was your guy, Sammy Watkins got a 1-year deal to stay with the Chiefs.
Nice.
So your guy is going to be sticking around in Kansas City for at least one more year.
Well, at least he's got a ring to go with it.
Yeah, he does now. But, it looks like it's – do they have it? It looks like it's a $9 million base salary, but the incentives here are really interesting. I want to read you. There's a looks like six incentives to his contract. He can earn an extra $750,000 apiece if he catches eight touchdowns and the Chiefs make the playoffs, 65 catches plus the playoffs, or 800 yards and the Chiefs make the playoffs. He'll get $750,000 each if he does that. Now he can get $1.25 million in three different ways. So he can get, you know, $3.75 million total here. If he's in the AFC Championship game and the Chiefs win and he plays 50% of the snaps, if he gets 65 passes during the regular season and the Chiefs win the AFC Championship game, or if he gets 800 yards during the regular season and the Chiefs win the AFC Championship game. So he's got a lot of money tied up in bonuses, but they're kind of accessible for a team like Kansas City, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. Well, and I was going to say, I'm still a big believer in these. I know it's not fair to the player or whatever. Don't ever get to cry about, but I'm sorry. You know, I get a bonus on my pay based on my performance, not because my boss likes me or let's not say my boss. Not because the entire office in Chicago that I work with likes me, and the office the people I work with in Minnesota like me. Oh, and the two people in Detroit. You know, my bonus isn't based because those people like me. It's based on my performance. I don't know.
Yeah, and, you know, looking at this, this is as closely related to a performance-based contract as I think I've seen. You know, he has an opportunity to make a whole bunch of extra money on this, you know, the contract. And, I'm sure you're wondering here. I can tell you last year he played in 14 games. He had 52 catches for 673 yards and three touchdowns in the regular season. So now he wouldn't have made any of his bonuses there. In the playoffs, he had 14 catches, 288 yards, and one touchdown. So, he'll have to, A, stay healthy, and B, put up a little better numbers to get to these bonuses. But they're definitely doable for an NFL starting wide receiver. Even a guy you would look at as probably the third option behind Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill. So I think it's a good deal in both parts, you know.
No, I think it's a great deal. It's just, the hardest part with the NFL is, it doesn't matter how good the Chiefs were last year or how great or good Sammy will be, you know, and company. Can they make it back to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, which is always NFL for whatever reason.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to knock their talent. I think it's there. It's just, can they make it back?
Yeah. And then I did see something. I haven't been able to find too many other reports on it, but I caught one, and I think I posted it on the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. But it does appear as both the NBA and the NHL are still planning to try to hold their playoffs. And, yeah, here's the NBA one. It says NBA matchups, if league resumes season with postseason play. So it seems like they're still hinting on the fact that they're going to try to have a postseason. Dan, I got to tell you, I still don't think this is a good idea. I mean, you know, it's April, whatever. You're going to have to give the players time to get ready. We know everything is shut down till at least the end of the month. You know, are you going to be interested in NBA playoffs starting June 1st?
Me personally.
The dogs. Who let the dogs? Oh, sorry.
Yeah, that was me who let them out. you know, I mean, I don't know. I think, honestly, with nothing going well, no, because I mean, you and I are baseball guys, so we're going to be excited about that to go underway. I think the lore of the playoffs will be exciting at first, like, ooh, but in the end, you start them June 1st, and I mean, with the way the season is now, you know, it's going to take a few weeks, but I think people would still get into the finals, but, you know, it's either that or compared to some kind of bylaw or some BS that I saw that I didn't actually read. There's some kind of clause that if they don't play the season, somehow the Lakers can be rewarded or by default be the champions.
Yeah, I saw that too, but would anybody believe that?
No. I think, you know, doing that is worse than knowing that Major League Baseball is doing nothing about the fact that the 17 and 18 World Series champions cheated. You know, I don't know. I don't know about you, but in my mind, if the NBA defaulted and gave the Lakers the championship, well, then Major League Baseball might as well make the Dodgers two-time champions, right? And give every trophy to LA. And coincidentally, it's funny how that they end up in the same town, but you know, and I'm not saying because it's L.A. I'm just saying because, I don't know, I'd rather have a champion in there because they won and we put an asterisk next to that saying they cheated and there's no way we're going to go back and, you know, there's no way we can get all these players to go back and rerun a World Series. It's impossible. You know, but for the NBA and the NHL, if you end up having 1 year without a champion, yeah, it sucks. But, you know, I think that's better in the record books than, you know, what WWE does and, you know, erased you like you never existed. Which would be, you know, what Major League Baseball should do to the Red Sox and Astros, but we won't get into that too much.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, if you think about it, with the way the NBA playoffs go, even if they started June 1st, they literally wouldn't end until almost August 1st. So I don't know why anybody would care whatsoever about these things.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, you know, you and I would do our predictions. Hey, you know, hey, here's your top eight. And then you would list them all off to me, and I'd be like, I pick 1 through 4, and then we would go into the second round, and I would pick, you know, the teams that we always do. So it really isn't that challenging. I do think people would get excited to watch the opening and see the first game of the championship series, but other than that, I don't see it being a huge series.
So, yeah, I just couldn't. I couldn't deal with, you know, I don't even think I would turn it on. So, you know, and sadly the NHL would be the same thing. Yeah, you know, the NHL would be the same thing for me because by then, you know, I'm not considering what it is anymore. I would be looking for something else.
Yeah, well, I was just going to say that. That's part of the hard thing with you and I being baseball guys.
Yeah.
You know, for me, you know, obviously you've you watch it your way, depending on which room of the house you're in. For me, it's obviously I won't see any Cubs games this year unless they're on ESPN. Thanks, Dad. but I mean, other than that, I'll be, you know, if I'm in the basement on my work computer, I can stream on three monitors at my desk. You know, if not, I'm watching TV. I can watch the TV and stream on my my two iPads and my iPhone since I finally got a joined everyone else and got a big phone. But yeah, I mean, I still think if I tuned into anything, it would be the NHL playoffs more so. But of course, you know, for me, who would have to be in it? Blackhawks, Predators, Kings, not the Kings, Vegas, and the Capitals. It's got to be one of those four teams, or I'm not, you know, probably going to watch a whole lot of it.
Yeah, you know, and obviously I would be a lot more invested if either of the local things, teams could find their way into the playoffs, but obviously that's not going to happen because it doesn't look like we're going to be given any more regular season games for that to actually go on. You know, if they did come back and play more regular season games, then I would really be at a wit's end. I would be like, really? Come on. So, but, you know, we'll see. And again, you know, right now this is just a speculation. There's no actual report on who or what they're going to do. And, you know, at this point there really can't be because we don't even know if come the end of the month when they, you know, hopefully move on from the, you know, these stay-at-home orders, will we, you know, will we be ready to go is the question. But, like I said, hopefully, it does clear up and this is the actual end of it and we can get back to doing whatever the heck it is you were doing before.
Well, you know, the hard part, Big Jack, is I'll actually have to go into work.
Yeah. Yeah, you've got to get used to leaving the house again. So you'll have to see how that goes.
Oh, yeah, I haven't.
But
I mean, go ahead. I haven't really left in a good, 3 weeks.
Yeah, I find it odd now that I'm basically trained to not even turn the sports channels on anymore when I sit down. You know, before I would come home and I would, you know, sit down and have a, you know, glass of juice, take my medication and flip through the sports channels to see what's going on. Now, you know, again, this brings back to the point of me getting old. Basically, I come home and put the weather channel to see what's going on with the weather. I got to get over that, man. That's ridiculous. But, yeah, it's just I'm kind of to that point where I've made the adjustment of not turning on the Mickey Mouse Network, the MLB Network, whatever I used to come home and do. I've actually managed to overcome that somehow and more or less, I don't know if you want to call it moved on or not, but I guess I'll be good when I get to do it again. All right, well, look at that. Dan, I'll be back tomorrow. 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 Don't forget to hit that link and follow it over to the Facebook page. Keep that a like. Of course, there's the Twitter feed, which is at the video. Feel free to look Dan and I up on Twitter as well. We can find it out. I'm here to sit by and listen to us live. Thank you for what we appreciate that. But remember, the podcast is available for you to go listen to every time you want to.